Little short lesson tonight. I'm going to start in 2 Kings 9, verse 20. So the context of this is a couple of kings are standing up on the battlements of a castle or a fortress, and the watchmen are looking, and they see this guy coming in a chariot. And they say, I wonder who that is. And so after some discussion and sending some reporters, some guys out there to check it, the watchman reported saying, he went up to them and is not coming back. He sent the guy that he sent out to find out who this guy was. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he drives furiously, or other translations, like a madman. This guy was such a crazy chariot driver that people could recognize him a mile off by how he drove. Okay? Now, this may seem a little strange segue, but we're going to talk about the Boston Marathon tonight. Boston Marathon, you know, marathons are 26 some odd miles and in that range, and some are a little shorter, some are longer, whatever. The Boston Marathon is very famous, and it just so happens that a number of years ago, me and my daughter went up to visit a professor at MIT who I knew was one of my colleagues, and we stayed with her. And her house was a block away from the course of the Boston Marathon. And it just happened to be being run that day. So it was a Saturday. And so we got up and she said, you got to go watch the marathon. And we're sitting there going like, this thing's like how many hours long? And there's, you know, tens of thousands of people. And, you know, you're going to go stand out. She said, no, no, no. It's just right down the block. You just have to literally walk a block away from her house was on the course. And it turned out that it happened to be, I never can remember if it was right before or right behind. I think it was after. I'm pretty sure it was after. One of the most famous parts of the Boston Marathon, which is called Heartbreak Hill. And the reason it's called Heartbreak Hill is not that it's such a great hill, is that you've run 20.1 miles before you have to run up this hill. So the hill might as well be Mount Everest. You know, it's not that big of a hill. But it's called Heartbreak Hill. And a lot of people literally don't make it. They've run 20 miles of the 26 miles and they don't make it. And it was just interesting because I got to sit there and watch as all the runners, we were there before any of the runners came by. And so I got to see these classes of runners coming through and watch them because I'm just standing there, you know, me and my daughter standing there watching them. The first ones that come by are the elites, the ones that you see in the, the Olympics. Right? At the front of the pack. The guys that trained running up and down Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa their whole life, you know, since they were babies. They run completely effortlessly. You can't see any strain on them at all, even after 20 miles. They just float. And there's, you know, there's a little crowd of them, about 8 or 10 of them. By the time you get to this part of the marathon, people are spread out for miles, literally for miles. So you have this first batch that comes through and they're just kind of gliding through and you're going like, man, well, you know, that wasn't that tough. And then you have the experts, the ones that come next. Now, these are people who are serious, dedicated, you know, not quite professional runners. They might be professionals, but they're kind of not fully into it as a calling yet. But they are very focused, and you can see the effort in their faces. The interesting thing is sitting there watching them come. You get to watch them for about a mile. They run by you and they keep going. Then you have the serious amateurs, I guess I would call them, who are practiced. They've been running marathons for a long time. They're very dedicated. It's one of their life goals to run the Boston Marathon. They're really dedicated to doing this. You know, it's not what they do for a living like the elite, you know, professional athlete. But they are really passionate about it. And then you have various classes of novices who have never run it before. You know, there's some that run it in bunny suits. I mean, there's some really strange people who run the Boston Marathon. But we only started seeing some of those by the time we quit. What was interesting was the look on these people's faces. And especially, you know, the elites, you just sit there and go, these people got it made. You know, they got it done. They do this all their life. It's no big deal. The experts, you could see they were working at it. But they were very focused. They knew every step they were taking. They knew every breath they were taking. It was all based on a formula that they had practiced. They were really working at it, but they were struggling. You could see 20 miles beating themselves to death running on pavement, right? But by the time you got to the serious amateurs, this is where you could see like this was their life on their face. And sometimes they'd come by and they were just glazed, just like they don't even know if they could make it. And some of them don't. I mean, some of them pass out. Some of them just faint and face plant into the pavement. There's some really crazy dedication that goes on to this. And most of the novices never make it through. Or they walk the rest of it just so they can say they finished, but they drop out. But one of the things that's really strange about this when you're watching them is you're compelled to encourage these people. So here they are running by. You know, the elites, like I said, they go by, you just go, wow, isn't that amazing? How could they do that? The experts come by and you go like, yeah, they're going to make it. When the serious amateurs come by and they're putting every ounce of energy and life they have into it, you find yourself going like, it's okay, you're going to make it. The worst is over. It's just a little farther. Don't give up. Don't give up. And everybody's doing it. It's this really strange event because all the bystanders are sitting there, and especially when you see someone who's really struggling, you can see them a mile away. And they are just, are they going to make it? Are they even going to make it up to me? And you just say, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep going. You're almost there. The worst part is over. And so it's this very strange emotional experience watching these, because you're face to face with them. Literally, they're running right in front of you. You're 3 or 4 feet away from them. So I was sitting there watching all these people and encouraging them as they came by. And then all of a sudden I hear, Sam Adams. And I looked and there was Jim Amsden, a guy I used to work with. And he was running the marathon. And he was one of these serious amateurs. I didn't know he was running at this time. And I said, Jim, you're going to make it. Go, man, go. And we were just like, all of a sudden, we were just together. And it was just like, you know, if I could have carried him, I would have carried him, you know, to run with him. But that's the kind of feeling that's going on. Now, what does this have to do with Jehu? And what does it have to do with the gospel? So Paul said something in Acts chapter 20. He's talking to the Ephesian elders, and he says, in verse 20, he's talking about the problems that are going to come, he's expecting, chains and tribulations and all that. In verse 24, he says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said, every town I come to, some prophet by the Holy Spirit is saying, Paul, if you go to Jerusalem, this is what's going to happen to you, right? All these different guys were doing it. We have a couple of them recorded in the book of Acts. Agabus took off his belt, said, Paul, can I borrow your belt for a minute? And said, yeah. And Agabus sits there and ties himself up and he says, this is what the Holy Spirit says is going to happen to you in Jerusalem. You know, so he was getting lots and lots of good information that he had a rough time ahead of him. But what did he say? I want to finish my race with joy. And then, of course, we have you ask yourself some about the joy. In Hebrews 12, right after the chapter on the heroes of faith, right? Verse 1, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Now, what I find interesting about all this is obviously Paul's using, in both of these cases, is using this running a race analogy, and he uses it in some other places. Later on in his life, he tells Timothy, I have finished my course, right? I've run my race. I've finished my course. I'm waiting for basically I got the finish line staring me, you know, probably a Roman sword staring at him, saying I'm going to lose my head one of these days. But he said, I've finished my course. But I was thinking about this for tonight, and especially because, you know, 90% of the people here are on the 20 mile plus end of our life's marathon, right? And we've seen a few heartbreak hills, right? Now, some of us, you know, some of us who are younger, you know, some of us are still at the starting line kind of strapping on the tinnies, you know, like Seth and Caroline over here. Steven's somewhere in the middle, maybe 15 miles in or something like that, and he's doing okay. You know, he's going to make it. He's got it there, but, you know, some of those hills still coming up. But I was thinking about those of us who are looking at the last few miles and thinking about what we've been through and thinking about how much it hurts physically and spiritually, how much our bodies are failing us, how much many people who loved have deserted us even. You know, maybe because of death, maybe because of unfaithfulness. All the different things, all the heartbreak hills that we've had in our lives. And I think about, you know, how do we look at that point? And what should we be saying to each other? For sure we ought to be encouraging each other. You know, you've run a hard race. It's been hard. It's been really tough. But you've made it through the hardest part. Keep going. You're going to make it. Keep going. Don't give up. And then I was thinking back at Jehu, because I actually started thinking about Jehu, and I got into this, and I came back, and I said, how am I going to tie all this together? The interesting thing about Jehu is everybody knew it was Jehu coming a mile away by the way he ran. Granted, he was driving a chariot. I was able to watch these people from a mile away and read where they were at in their struggle in the race. What do people see in you? Especially those of us who are mile 20, right, or further. When they look over there, do they say, that's a Christian running? That's a Christian running. When they see you coming up that hill, that's a Christian running. And I just thought that was a really interesting thought to pull all together. For us, as we think about our lives and we think about this, think about the goal. You know, Paul talks about finishing his race with joy. Not just finishing, but finishing it with joy. Why did Jesus endure? It says here, he endured because for the joy that was set before him. That's the purpose and the reason. He knew the goal. Remind yourself of the goal. Focus on the goal. Study the goal. So that when you're struggling on the next heartbreak hill that you have in your life on this earth, that you can stay focused on the joy. That's a lesson. If anyone has any needs, let us know as we stand and sing. If anyone's out here in the distance that needs to obey the gospel, man, if you're listening to us regularly, you already know how. If you don't, contact us. We'll help you know. It's easy. Just look in the Bible and do what it says. Let's stand and sing.